Hey, Sister Emin, what are you doing?
Well, first of all, I'm sitting here with you, and I'm being thankful.
We made it to our parking spot tonight.
Yeah, thankful for what the Lord has done. And I'm looking out the front window at a little pond, or is that a lake or a pond?
It's a small lake.
Yeah, and I was looking at the lights reflecting off the water, and I just told Brother Tupos, I said, you know, that's pretty awesome. God could have made that light just absorb into the water.
Yeah.
But it looks so pretty reflecting off
Maybe
that.
You'll put a video of that up at the top of our edification page today.
Yeah, I could do that.
The lights from the buildings are shimmering on the water. There's all kinds of ducks swimming by.
Yeah.
We're parked by a tree, and there's all kinds of ducks.
It's beautiful.
Roosting in the tree. Yeah, it's a place we come because we preach a lot in this area. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful, peaceful night.
It's a wonderful refuge.
It is. And we made it to this parking spot, so we are thankful, and we hope you're all doing well. We want to give you some edification today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start out.
Okay.
We woke up, and the day started off really good, and I was talking to a young brother who's on a long journey. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime. And we were talking about gospel cards going out as you go on your long journey. And I just want to give you one example of how gospel cards can go out at one gas station. I pull up into a gas station today, went to get gas. Sister Ramen gives me a gospel card with scotch tape on it. Boom, that goes on the gas pump. So I went in, I got ice and water, and there were some youngsters in there, young teenagers in there. And I thought, I'm going to witness to them if I see them again. So I went out, gave Sister Ramen the ice and water, and I said, do you need more water? She said, yeah, we could use another gallon. I went back in. This place gives us free ice and water. I went back in, and sure enough, those three young men were walking out the door with me, and I said, you young men need the gospel. And they said, we do. And only one of them came back. And he put his hand out. He goes, I'll take one. And I gave him the gospel to eternal life. And him and his two buddies took off and walked away. So that was what? The second gospel card that went out. I walked out to the van. I said to Sister Ramen, I got to go back in the gas station. There's our eating area. I want to go put some gospel cards out. So I put a gospel card out on one table. I put a gospel card out on another table. That's three, four gospel cards in one gas station. And there was a man, an old man like me, very old. He was much older than me, sitting there with his big glasses. You couldn't see his eyes, sunglasses, drinking a cup of coffee. And I walked by him. He was real quiet, sitting real still, looked kind of sad. I turned around and I said, I took a chance. And I said, sir, would you like the gospel to eternal life, how to find eternal life? Sister Ahmed, all he did was he put his hand out, reached for it, and he shook his head, yes. And I put it in his hand, and I said, let me know if I can ever help you in that. And he took the card, and he held it up like, thank you. And I went on my way. That was number five. And I walked out, and I stuck another one in another gas pump. Six gospel cards in about 10 minutes. It would have been 2 minutes if I didn't have to get ice and gas and water.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving you an example how gospel cards can go out. Even if you're not a street preacher, you can just be out talking to people. You can be out handing the gospel out, glorifying God. What do you think of that, right, Sister Ramen?
I love that. Yeah. Well, I was telling you that story. I came out of the grocery store. I gave the woman at the checkout a gospel card. And as I was walking out, I was looking around, seeing if there was another one I could give out. And there was a guy doing garbage that worked there. And he said, how you doing today? I said, I'm doing awesome. How are you? And he said, doing good. That's good news about me doing awesome. I think I might have said it wrong, however.
Yeah.
But anyway, I said, speaking of good news, hey, how would you like some? And I gave him a gospel card, told him what it was. And he was like, he was very appreciative, and he thanked me, and he said, have a blessed day, man.
Nice.
That is good news.
You said, never know, all these thousands of gospel cards we hand out, where those seeds, we just did a thing on the parable of the sower, mm-hmm. where those seeds are going to fall.
Right, amen.
Yeah. I had another point I wanted to make, so we went out to street preach today, we'll talk about that. We went to the Amish Country Club, Pinecraft. We stood out at their ice cream shack out on the road where they all come to lounge around, eat ice cream, buy kettle corn, ride their three-wheel bikes. And I just thought today, we'll talk about more about the preach. I was thinking about the joy of street preaching. It's such a joy to get to go out and to get to proclaim Christ and to get to shine the light. Yep, refute the error with truth, but to lift up Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people tell us all the time, you're foolish for doing this, this and that, stop doing it. But God uses that to go forth and preach.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first person you preached the gospel to, it changed her life.
Amen. First person I preached the gospel to, it changed her life. And then I have brothers who heard the gospel and answered the call and are following Christ and united today because they heard the gospel preached out in the streets.
Amen.
So that's an awesome thing. Sister Raman, share some of your points for today.
Well, it kind of goes along with the joy of street preaching. My hope is that I know, first of all, it's to glorify God and to stand for his truth. We stand. And I always hope somebody might be seeking and gets encouraged. I was thinking this would be encouragement for anybody who may have seen us out on the streets, maybe a little afraid to reach out, maybe not quite there yet, not even sure what even is going on, but something's going on and you're watching, looking, listening, or whatever. I wanted to read Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And we're talking about spiritual truth here.
Amen.
And wisdom and the hope of eternal life and forgiveness. Yeah, you can have all that.
Amen.
If you keep pressing on it. We're here to encourage you.
Yeah, and that's what we go to preach about. Call people to that, offer them the cleansing of Christ and the hope of his resurrection that defeats death, because we're all hurtling towards death.
Right.
Death is coming. So, in line with that, I wanted to talk about lifting up your voice. Today, the people were telling me that I shouldn't be lifting up my voice, and I had my small amp on. We're out by a busy road, so I had my small amp on. And these people, whether they're Anabaptists or worldly church people, whoever, all these people are such hypocrites. Here's why. They don't like that I have a little tiny amp. They don't even like when I just street preach with my voice, but they like to target my little amp. These same people use amplifiers in their businesses, like at auctions, to make money, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And these same people, Sister Amon, what did a guy do today when we're preaching at Pinecraft? Pulled his car up right next to us, and what was he doing?
Yeah, he was pounding out practiced Mennonite choir music.
Oh, that guy, okay. Yeah, that guy pulled up and opened his door and was blaring music at us.
And the other guy, ooh, I thought he was going to pop my eardrum. He drove within like 2 or 3 inches of us, honking his horn for a long time.
We were walking on the street, not bothering anybody. He pulled up next to us and laid on his horn. So apparently loud noise is okay with them. And they were telling me that I'm wrong for doing this. But the truth is, I talk to the people many times one-on-one just like this, and I don't need my loudspeaker. And that doesn't make any difference. In fact, we'll talk about a pastor I talked to today that I actually turned my loudspeaker off to talk to him. He'd been a pastor for 40 years. He didn't respond to the truth either. He listened. He had no excuses or no biblical defense of his false ways.
Yeah, the volume only offends those people who don't like what's being said.
And I've got an article on a teaching blog about lifting up your voice. It's biblical. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." The disciples lifted up their voice.
Yeah, I remember that audio you made.
Yeah, lift it up. They lifted up. Yeah, amen. What else, Sister Amon?
Well, you mentioned that pastor.
Yep, I got a note on him.
Oh, did you want to do your note?
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Brother Tupos was witnessing to the man, and at the end, well, you probably share with him, but he had to ask him if he was in leadership. It was like the pastor was sneaking and was just hiding it.
Yep.
And I was thinking, I know the Old Testament talks about this. Here's one verse, Jeremiah 23:1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord.
Oh, I don't want to be them on Judgment
Day.
Go
in there and read some more of those.
Yeah. So the man, this man was sitting there with his wife in front of the ice cream shop eating ice cream. I said, bring your Bible. And he got up and walked over to me, and his wife was telling him not to.
Yeah.
He walked up and came over to talk to me. I got an audio of it. We'll be putting it up on our testing. He must have talked to me for 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah, it sounds.
And all he did was really listen. I have to say, he didn't push back, but I think he's a man pleaser.
Yeah.
And he didn't know the biblical gospel. He's been a Christian for 55 years. He's 72. He's been a pastor for 40 years. But he didn't have the biblical gospel. He still keeps the pagan holidays. He doesn't know about biblical dress and head covering. He doesn't know about feminism. He doesn't know about being in the world. He's down there vacationing in his flesh.
Spending big bucks.
Money. And he said, well, I put signs up in front of my rented house. I asked him what his sign says. if you have any questions about the Christian faith, come ask. I said, what are you going to do? You're going to lead him to your false gospel?
He gives him books or something.
He gives him some kind of Mennonite books. And so he got a call out, and he reminded me. What I did was, he was very nice in listening, and I thought, hey, maybe you're listening, as Sister Amon said. Then he finally, at the end, said, I said, are you with leadership in your church? Yeah, I'm the pastor. What a sneaky man. He didn't walk up and say, I'm a pastor. This is what this reminds me of. 2 Timothy 3:6-9. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ready? This is him. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're talking about here. And Moses, and it talks about Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as all theirs also was. Mm-hmm. False pastors, that's what we saw today, and he got exposed. I actually shook his hand at the end. I didn't know he was a pastor.
That was before.
I shook his hand, and I said, well, you've been listening. I want to hope that you go deep. And I said, are you with the leadership in any way? I should have asked him before I shook his hand. He said, yeah, I'm the pastor. I said, I got to take that handshake back. I said, yep. I need to rebuke you. I said, you're a deceiver. And he's like, okay, take your handshake back. I said, oh, I'm going to. John tells me not even to say Godspeed to false teachers. And so he got sent on his way with a lot of truth that he can repent of. And I offered him, if I'm wrong, call me and correct me. If you're wrong, will you come and edify me and our brothers in the truth of God? Let's see if we hear from him, Sister Amon.
He just walked off smiling.
He just walked off smiling and lifted his hand in the air and made kind of a mockery out of it.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I was watching his wife while Brother Tupos and him were talking. A man came over and we could tell he was a mocker, so he didn't get any time.
But he tried to interrupt us.
Yeah, Brother Tupos said, I'll talk to you later when I'm all done. Well, the man walked over to this pastor's wife.
Yep.
And I watched them. They stood right next to each other talking the whole time.
Yep.
They even had their heads together looking at the phone. And my thought was, unless he's her physical brother or physical relative, yep, there was a lot of closeness, yep, going on there. And she didn't even come out and stand by her husband.
Nope.
Regardless of what she thought, she, yep, should have stood by her husband. So major, major feminism there. It was a terrible witness for that man.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we did what we usually do at Pinecraft. We walked. We were by the ice cream shack and preached for a couple hours. Then we walked through Pinecraft where they're playing their bocce ball and their shuffleboard, and I preached the gospel, called them to repentance, warned them about man-made religion. And the only people that came up with anything, well, one of their friends, one of the men there, or their friends who was drinking, I could smell it on him, got in my face and used the F word 3 or 4 times and threatened to throw me out.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not leaving. Are you going to hit me? And he backed down. And then two men on a golf cart that I think they might have been drinking. The way they were acting.
Oh, yeah.
They're demonic, one or the other.
That my first thought was the consonants they were slurring, yep, on sounded like they had been drinking.
And all they wanted to talk about was, God hates divorce, God hates divorce, God hates divorce. They love the divorce and remarriage doctrine. They have a wrong doctrine. They believe if you're not a Christian and you ever got divorced before you're a Christian, they believe that you're still in sin if you ever got remarried. They clearly do not understand the 2 Corinthians 5:17 new life, where Paul says all things are washed away. And I actually, you'll hear it on video, go listen to the latest post on Pinecraft. I actually covered it and said, God allowed divorce with Moses. Christ allowed divorce and set us up for the cause of fornication. The Bible is clear. God does not like divorce, but God always allowed it, even in the New Testament. And whatever happens in a person's pre-conversion life, they just shut up. They got nothing to say because they just fall on this dead platitude about no divorce and remarriage. When in fact, here's a big problem. They say that you can't that you can walk away from your salvation with God, which I agree. You can break your blood covenant with Jesus. They agree. They say you can't break your marriage covenant ever. So if somebody cheats, it's never broken. You're still married. And they just have a false doctrine. Their founders, Menno, didn't teach what they teach. And I pretty much silenced them. We got them on video just yelling about divorce and remarriage. They don't care about the gospel. They don't care about sound doctrine. But they have their pet doctrines like non-resistance and divorce and remarriage.
Right. Yeah, I guess they pretty much make Jesus and Paul a liar then.
Yep.
And I often wonder about those people. They don't even know us, do they?
No.
Why are they asking about that?
Yeah.
They have no clue. They just automatically... You know, that is something I do want to put in here. We've dealt with Anabaptists for years and years and years.
Yep.
And you know, they always assume that anybody who's come from the world has had divorce and remarriage in their background. They don't even ask. They just assume and accuse.
Yep.
So
amen.
Be very careful about that.
And then they love... They love to rub your pre-conversion... divorce or anything like that in your face while they live in their willful sin. It's just wickedness. And yeah. I want to talk about this. Let's move on to the next thing. Let's talk about something really sad. This grieves my heart. Those men make me angry. That pastor makes me righteously angry. This right here grieves my heart. Ready? Do you know what Rummenspringa is? Oh, this is wickedness. So a young man, we're headed from the ice cream shop down to go talk to witness to people and preach at Pinecraft at the park. Public park, by the way. They don't own it. There's this young, slick-looking young guy, maybe 18. And I said, "You want a gospel card?" And he said, "Huh?" And he took the gospel card. I said, "Are you Amish or Anabaptist?" He goes, "Amish, from Indiana." And I said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm on Rummenspringa." He didn't look like an Amish guy. He had a slick haircut. He had on like tight little athletic pants and a little
like a
t-shirt.
He looked
like a worldly guy. I said, "Rummenspringa." I said, "Tell me about that young man." And he didn't like that I had my phone and maybe thought I was audio recording or videotaping, which I was. And I said, "I'll turn it off. Will you tell me about Rummenspringa?" "No, no, I don't think I want to talk about it." I said, "I know about it." I said, "Smoking, drinking, and fornicating before you go back?" He goes, "Yeah, like that." And I said, "That's wickedness." And he turned around to walk away. And I said, "You got to come out of your sin, young man. You got to receive the gospel. Come here. I want to talk to you." He just turned around and he walked away. What made me really sad is a couple things. One, the Amish elders are endorsing that. They allow them to go into the world and sow their wild oats, they call it. Two, it broke my heart that young man just turned away from the gospel, didn't want nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Three, he's roaming around that Pinecraft area, ready to defile young Anabaptist girls.
Or any other Rummenspringa
women. Or any other women. Ready to have fornication with them. And so, yeah, what wickedness that goes on in these Anabaptist places. And these people don't even realize that one guy in a big fancy pickup truck pulled up and told me, "Leave them alone, they're doing their thing." I said, "I'm doing my thing, sir." He goes, "There's nothing wrong with these people." Really? Do you approve of telling your 17 and 18-year-olds to go and fornicate and do all kinds of sin? "I'm a Christian too," he says. I said, "Not if you're of the world. You're not a biblical Christian." These people love to defend the Anabaptists, but they don't know about their sins, their wickedness, their false gospels.
No, they don't even have a clue.
Yeah, so Rummenspringa, I actually have an article on that at our teaching blog. Wicked, wicked Amish leaders. My heart breaks when I think about these young people turned over to their lusts and their sin. 2 Peter 2, 12 and 13. "These are brute beasts, natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, and they that count it pleasure to riot in that time. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." That word riot means debauchery and soft living. Just breaks my heart to see that going on in these places.
Yeah, and all those old men and women standing there approving of that.
Oh, yeah.
That explains why we see such mixed people in the youngsters.
Oh, yeah.
There's like harlot-looking young women, half-naked men running around on the basketball field, mixed in with those who are wearing the Anabaptist uniforms.
Yep. And when this man was getting in my face and using the F-word, not one older man came up and say, "Sir, let's just back down. There's no reason to be like that." They all turned around and ignored it.
I watched them.
He could have started pummeling me, and they would have done nothing.
Yep. Yeah, but you know what? God saw.
Oh, yeah, God saw. And we got video, and we're going to show everybody, and we're going to...
Yeah.
Document it for the glory of God and to warn people about the Anabaptists so they don't get swept away. Anything else, Sister Ammon?
Mm-hmm. Here's something good.
What's up?
This is good. Sister shared this morning. 1 Chronicles 29:11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all."
I love
and
that.
And I responded, I said, I love that. Greatness, power, glory, victory, majesty is exalted above all.
Yeah. Amen. And you know what? And you know what? You want to hear some good news? While we were preaching there today, we didn't really talk to any seekers, but while we were there today, there was a whole bunch of people and some young people that stand around, listened, looked, smiled a few times, didn't really mock, and the truth of God went out to them. Mm-hmm. The truth of God that's calling out the sin and false ways and pointing the way to righteousness, goodness, and truth that went out, and so I'm thankful for that. I do have one other note about the preach today. This was kind of poignant. We're walking down the street, and the guy that makes and fixes bikes there, got a fancy little bike shop, selling bikes for $400, $500, and $600 and renting bikes, and all they do is ride around on these bikes. He's sitting in his shop with an older man, and the garage door is open. And we walked by, and I said, I stopped, and I said, do you guys know Jesus died and shed his blood to make a special way for us not to live in our flesh and not to be following, riding around on bikes and foolishness and vacation living? And I started preaching Christ crucified. And what did he do, Sister Amon, right when I started talking about Jesus shed blood?
He shut the garage door.
I got a video of it. You'll see it. He shut the garage door as I was preaching the gospel and just ignored us.
Yep, the garage door is going slowly down while the gospel is being preached.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross, the stake of Christ, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
So yeah, we'll have that post up probably tomorrow, and a lot of truth went out, and we're always thankful that God is glorified, lets us do this, and people are told the truth to the saving of their souls.
Amen.
And then we get to go out also in gas stations and in the street and in stores. We got a preach coming up this weekend if the weather holds. Tomorrow's supposed to be a rainy day. We got a preach this weekend. That's going to be a really good one.
Yeah, we'll bring our raincoats just in case.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to be a so-called Christian music festival.
Yeah.
That we're going to get to go preach and stand out and shine our light at. And hopefully, Zelos and Sister Cara might join us if they can get there. They have some other thing they have going on.
So, yeah.
So they might get there to join us. So that will be glorious. So yeah, that was pretty much our day today. Did some working online, fellowshipping with a brother who's taking a long trip. I have a call tonight with a man who's a seeker, and we've been helping him. Me and the brothers have been helping along in the faith. So pretty awesome. That's about all I have, Sister Amon. You probably have a Bible verse, don't you?
I do.
I got one at the end as well.
Luke 15:4-7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Yeah.
I remember that when we go on the street thinking maybe someday down the road that we might be able to help somebody.
Yeah.
Be that one sheep.
Amen. And praise God, to the glory of God, people have been helped by his gospel going out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to read, in honor of going out street preaching today and contending and reasoning, Acts 17:2-3. That's what I did with that modern pastor, or that pastor guy, pastor for 40 years, and he doesn't have the gospel biblical. I reasoned, ready? Acts 17:2-3. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs be have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. That word reason, Sister Amon, it means argue and dispute. Paul argued and disputed the truth to the saving of their souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we go to do. And I don't argue with people like screaming and yelling. Argue, meaning I'll give you the facts. I'll prove my case like a lawyer argues in court. I'll tell you the facts. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you the truth. You got to repent. You got to come out. Dispute with your false doctrines. That's what we're called to do. Because there's 40,000 denominations, and unless we're going to be ready to give an answer and shine the light in the right direction, we're not going to be able to help anybody.
Right.
Anything else, Sister Amon?
Just love to the saints and the seekers out there who might be looking and watching and listening.
What do seekers have to do?
Don't delay. You got to repent. Turn from your ways.
Yep.
Turn toward the Lord, and he will give you his Holy Spirit, and then You will want to walk in holiness and obedience all the way into the end. For Amen. The hope of eternal life awaits for those who do.
Forsake this life, forsake your sin, follow after Christ. I remember just yesterday, this man that we've been helping said to me in a text, he said, I always knew my life should mean and stand for something so much more than just myself. And he's seeking eternity now. I think we're going to leave right there. That's pretty awesome. I hope your life is standing for something more than just you and your desires and your wants. I hope it stands for the kingdom of God in spirit and in truth. Love y'all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. May God be praised.